Okay. The Torah says here in our parsha, "V'yitein al Moshe kechal osol daber itel b'har Sinai." Then Hashem gave to Moshe when he had finished speaking with him in Har Sinai, shnei luchos aidos, luchos avarim, the tablets of testimony, kesuvim besvel kim, written in the finger of God. So Rashi explains what it means kechal osol when he has finished giving him the Torah on Har Sinai. The expression is not one that appears that often in Tanakh. And therefore, Rashi feels the need to cite a Medrash Tanchuma that says as follows. Ma kala, just like the expression kechala, so is the language of kala, a bride. Ma kala miskashetas be'asrim va'arba kishutin. Just like a bride adorns herself with 24 different vestments in the process of her wedding day. Hein amurim b'sefer Yeshayahu, and the Navi Yeshayahu in Paragimel lists out with the 24 R. Af Talmud Chacham Sarach Liyot Baki be'asrim va'arba svarim. So too, Talmud Chacham must be an expert in the 24 books of Tanakh. There are 24 books of Tanakh. And what we'd like to discuss is, it seems that many Talmidei Chachamim are not experts in the 24 books of Tanakh. And many Jews are not experts in the 24 books in Tanakh. So how do we fit together this mandate from the Medrash and this Rashi? It's not a Medrash, it's also a Rashi, that we have to be bucky, we have to know backwards and forwards the 24 books of Tanakh. And it seems not to be a stress in most of the Torah centers of Klal Yisrael, and what do Chazal, what do the traditions have to say about this particular issue? Let's first present the Limud Zchus. Let's present the approach of those people who say, I know the Medrash, I'm aware of the Rashi, I learn a little bit of Chumash, but it's not so important to spend so much time learning Tanakh. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Yeradeya, in Reish Mem Hei, in Sif Vav and Hilchos Talmud Torah, Haya Minag Beir Shelokech Malamit Tinokos Tzchar. It is the minag of the city to pay for a Rebbe for the children. Chayv Lalamdo Bischar. How long does he have to pay for him? Do you have to pay for him to teach the children? Ad Sheyikra Torah Shebichsav Kula, until they can read all of Torah Shebichsav. Now, regarding the importance of teaching Torah Shebichsav to children, the Shach there in Sif Katan Hei cites the Bach who says that this means all of Tanakh, not just Chumash. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, the children have to be taught the whole thing. And the Bach adds that it's incorrect that there's a minog already in his days, in the 1600s, already a minog to not teach one's children Tanakh. It's not just nowadays. It's been going back for hundreds of years. And the Shach defends the minog. He says, I know what the Bach says, thank you very much. But let me tell you why we don't spend so much time of our children's time in school learning Tanakh, and we do Mishnah, Gemara, Halach, and things like that. And he explains, based on Hatosis and Kedushin Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara there in Kedushin famously says that a person needs to be Mishalish, a person needs to divide his time in learning to threes. Now, there's a Machogos in the Rambam and the other Mefarshim, what that means into three. What the three are is clear. It means Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. Sukkim and Tanakh, Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and Gemara, obviously it's not the Gemara we have, but the discussions of the Mishnah need to be the main focus of a person's learning, and it needs to be divided in one-third for Mikra, one-third Mishnah, one-third for Gemara. So the Rishonim and the Achronim discuss, well, how do you divide it up? Does that mean if you have 3 hours a day, an hour, an hour, an hour? Does it mean if you have days of a week, 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, and Shabbos you have off for Chazara or resting? Does it mean a person's life? You should take an average of what the person's lifespan is or a person's learning career is. Let's say you know for sure a kid's going to be learning from kindergarten to 12th grade. So it should be divided among those 13 years, 13 to 14 years, divided up into thirds, and that's how it should be done. So there's all types of explanations, and we seem to do none of them. So the Shach explains in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam cites a Gemara in Sanhedrin Chavdal Dan Alf, and the Gemara says, why is it called Shas Bavli? Why do we call Gemara after the name of the city or the area where it's come from? Just call it Shishas Mishnah. Why do we call it Bavli specifically? Because it is Balul. It is filled with a mixture of Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. If you learn a Daf Gemara, you'll get everything, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara, a little bit of Mikra, and you'll pull everything together, and you'll have all three together in one beautiful, tight package. And therefore, we don't have to divide our time of learning into thirds, which is only Tanakh, since you learn Tanakh when you learn Shas. And this is also stated by the Tur, Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Rama brings this in Reish Mem Vav Siv Dalet, all saying that that's what we do. We don't have to have specific Siddurim in Gemara, in Mishnah and Tanakh. We can suffice with learning Gemara, and that covers all of our bases.
So cool, but suffice with that opinion. you don't have to know all of Tanakh because...
Correct. Correct. We'll get there in a second.
Okay, awesome.
So the Gemara in Bava Basra on Chesam and Aleph relates that Rebbe once opened his storehouses to distribute food during the years of a drought. And he said, whoever masters Mikra, whoever has mastered Mishnah, whoever is a Baal Gemara and Halacha and Agadata, any of those areas, can come and enter and receive food from me. So the Rashash notes that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the way he opened up his storehouses, is you can know either Mikra or Mishnah or Gemara or Halacha or Agadah. But it doesn't say, it's not a building up of this and then this and then this and then this. It's either or. And therefore the Rashash says that we can learn from here that a person can be a Baal Mishnah, a person can be a Baal Gemara, and without being a Baal Mikra. And the Rashash writes that this is against those who scorn Gedolei Zmanenu, the great rabbis of our time, who know Shas and Poskim, but don't know so much Mikra. And this is okay, you can still be considered a Talmid Chacham in that area, and you're still considered okay. There's a beautiful comment to the Maariv Tzchias. The Maariv Tzchias has a Hakdama, a Mavo, L'Talmid, an introduction to the Gemara, Torah, Shebaal Peh, all different types of English things. I think article translated into English many, many years ago. But the Maariv Tzchias writes a lot of different ideas. There in Perek Yud Zayin, he notes that there are some Chachamim in the Gemara who are not proficient in Halacha. And there are some Chachamim in the Gemara who weren't proficient in Mikra. And Tosis and Bava Basra says there were many Amorayim who weren't Bikim in Tanakh. And the Gemara in Chagiga says that they told Rabbi Akiva, you know, to stop teaching us Agadata. You're more of a Halacha person. Your Drush is not so good. So says the Maariv Tzchias, we see even within Chazal, there are people who have expertise in areas. And that doesn't detract from who they are. They're wonderful Talmidei Chachamim. They have so much to offer and we learn from them. But, okay, you can't know everything. You have people who can specialize in certain areas. And that's okay in their understanding of Torah. And that is sufficient in their own growth in Limanat Torah. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that there was an Adam Gadol who was a Tanai, but not in a Karai. He knew a lot of teachings of the Amoraim and the Tanayim, but he didn't know a lot of Psukim. And that's okay as well. And that's fine. And it's sufficient in one's Limud HaTorah to be okay with that. Then there's also an interesting Gemara in Brachos Chavchas. The Gemara in Brachos says, Tan Rabbanan, Kishachala Reb Eliezer Nichlesu Tamid of Labakro. When Eliezer came ill, his students came to visit him. Amru Lo, and they said to him, Rabbeinu, our teacher, Lamadnu Orchos Chayim Benizka Behen Chayolam Haba. Teach us the ways of life so we can merit life in the next world. Amr Lahem, he told them, Hizharu Bikvod Chaverchem, you should be careful with the cover of your friend. And then he says, V'nimnu b'neichem in higayon. And prevent your kids from higayon. Now, many Mepharshim say higayon means logic and philosophy and things like that. But that's not according to everybody. Rashi gives two explanations. In the one of those explanations, he says that you should not regularly teach children Mikra because it's Moshe Chasalev. It will pull them away. Meaning what? Because Bible stories are much more fun and exciting than learning Halacha and Gemara. And if you spend too much time on Bible stories, they're not going to be able to learn Halacha L'maisa, Shas, and Poskim, take away from those things. And therefore, that's what it means, not so much in Higayon. It needs to be a little bit, but not overwhelming amount. The Sefer Yochsin recites from Tzemach Gon, who says that you should avoid Mikra that can lead to Minus. Because we know that, whether it is Christians or other forms of philosophy and things like that, they'll use the Bible and they can take psukim and misuse different ideas away from the way that we traditionally understand them and Chazal understand them with Torah Shebaal Peh, and it can lead them away from Torah, understand about different gods, about what will happen with Mashiach, what won't happen with Mashiach, and therefore learning Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaal Peh can be dangerous, and if a kid is learning Torah Shebichsav so much time, it could lead to ideas that would take him away from Judaism. And the Tzlach notes that the Tzlach's already writing at the very, very beginning, very, very beginning of the Haskalah, that the Apikorsim learn Tanakh, and if you hire a Malamed for your child who only learns Tanakh, it's going to expose them to Apikorsis. If you have your Malamed only knows Tanakh, there's a good chance that he's not so familiar with Masorah and Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore the Tzlach warns having a Rebbe who just knows Tanakh and nothing else. Okay, Rosh Shlomo Kluger has a tshuva in the Aleph Lecha Shlomo in Yeridei and Siman Reish and Tes, and he explains that a Gadol and a Bar Das can learn Mikra, and he can make sure that he doesn't come to Apikorsis. Well, after you've learned a lot of Halacha and you have appreciation from the Sora and Torah Shebaal Peh, so then you can go now with that information and learn Mikra. However, young people can be easily influenced away from Masorah, and they should not learn too much Mikra. And he adds that the Gemara is also telling us that Mikra should not be a person's main learning. A person's main learning should be on Shas, Poskim, Halacha, Gemara, Mishnah, things like that. And only learn Tanakh with the Mefarshim, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, for an hour or two a day. Right? And if you can squeeze in an hour or two of Tanakh in your learning schedule, then that's the best thing to do. But I wouldn't do more than that. That's what he says. So we can see where Rav Shlomo Kluger is and where we are. But nevertheless, he says that it should be a small piece. You should learn Tanakh, but it should be the main focus of your learning. The Shla writes in his Agos to Yishnochlim, Shema Amarim Haniskarim Mayri Dafke Kishadim Rotzelaso Kol Yama Baruba Mikra. The Shla, who is a great supporter of learning Tanakh, said all of those statements against learning too much Chumash and Tanakh, that was about doing it all day. But a little bit here and there is certainly okay. Obviously, there's a mitzvah of Shnai Mikra. That's not what we're talking about over here. But nevertheless, we have seemingly a strong Masorah, certainly amongst Ashkenazim. There was an article in Jewish Action from 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. There was a whole magazine was about learning Tanakh. And somebody wrote an article that goes through the historical traditions in Ashkenaz of not learning too much Tanakh. And essentially along these lines as well, that certainly in the light of the Haskalah, and we'll touch upon that at the end, that would lead people away from things they thought were more important. Who disagrees? Okay, that was very nice. Limud Zchus for those of us who are not learning Tanakh enough. But who disagrees and says we should be doing a lot more in our teaching of Tanakh? Comes the Baal HaTanya in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is most famous for Hilchos Tavat Torah. And the first, he has notes called the Kuntras Acharon, which are longer essays on the halachos in Hilchos Tavat Torah. And the first essay, he writes the following. And he says that there's no merit to the minhag to not learn Nach. And he completely ignores Tosos. He doesn't cite Tosos. He doesn't cite the Ramah. He doesn't cite the Shach. He ignores all of those Chachmei Ashkenaz. And he is Mechadesh. He has a new idea. And he explains that even according to those above Poskim who rule that one fulfills the Chiyuv of a third of your learning Tanakh through learning Gemara, that only applies once you've learned all of Tanakh and you've become an expert in Tanakh and you've memorized all of its contents. And now you can spend a third of your day learning Tanakh. That's what it means. That's a Chiddush the other way. Only after you've mastered it can you even think about making it a third of your day. However, until one has reached the level of knowledge in Tanakh, even all poskim should agree that you have not fulfilled your chiyuv with simply learning Gemara. There is two volumes of Ha'aros, of comments, on the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Hilchos Tamat Torah, by a well-known Chabad, Rav, the Rav of Kfar Chabad in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Ashkenazi. So he writes that everyone agrees that to fulfill the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, there's Yediyas HaTorah and Limud HaTorah. To fulfill the mitzvah of knowing Torah, you have to learn to become an expert in Tanakh. You haven't fulfilled Yediyas HaTorah, having a knowledge of Torah, unless you are holding in Tanakh. And it's only once this is accomplished that the poskim discuss the mitzvah of Vagisa Vayom of Alayla, learning other things as well. But the main focus needs to be in Tanakh, in which one can fulfill a third of his learning in Tanakh by learning Gemara. And this is the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He notes that the minhag is not like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the minhag is certainly like the Shach, and we don't spend so much time learning Tanakh. And perhaps he suggests, according to the Shach, there's no chiyuv of Yediyas HaTorah by Tanakh, and it's only a chiyuv for the sake of Gemara, meaning learning Tanakh is a hechi timtza, is a stepping stone to get you to Gemara. But it's not a mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah on its own. That's what he wants to say is the lumdus of the Shach, where the Shulchan Arav says that there's a mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah in Tanakh as well. And there's a chiyuv gamur to have Yediyas HaTorah of all of Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim according to the Baal HaTanya. The reason is that the Gemara does not contain all of the verses of Tanakh, which is what we said before. It's not enough. You can learn all of Gemara and you still miss, I don't know what the percentage is, but you'd miss a lot of Tanakh, and also you wouldn't know the context of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Meaning even if you learned all of those psukim, you still wouldn't know what's Yishayahu talking about, and what's going on in Shoftim, and what does A have to do with B, you still wouldn't know. And therefore, in order to have Yediyas HaTorah and Tanakh, you must learn the whole thing according to the Baal HaTanya in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Okay. Who else says we need to learn more Tanakh? Rav Yaakov Lorberbaum, the Baal Nesivos HaMishpat, the Chavos Das, the great Posek, the Rav in Posen. So he writes in his Tzava, his ethical will to his children, and it's agreement with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Listen to this. This is the first piece in the will. The will is like 10, 20 pages long. So the first piece he writes, O Avi B'ni, my beloved children, Techilas dino shel adam al divrei Torah. The first thing we will be judged for in Shemaim is our learning of Torah. Yilachem shir kavua b'chol yom lemikra mishnah. You should have an established time every single day for learning mikra and mishnah. Vim ki amru chazal talmud bavli bal bekulam. And you'll tell me, but Talmud Bavli contains everything. What do I need to set time to learn the Chumash for in Tanakh? Heim kvar milu kresim b'mikra mishnah. That's because they already knew Mikra and Mishnah. That's why they said you can learn Talmud Bavli. But they already knew what's going on in Eov and Perek Lamed Zion. What's going on in Shayo and Perek Yud Gimel. They knew all of that. Not necessarily by Perek, because Brachim didn't exist yet. But they knew what was going on in all those places. And then through learning Gemara, it was simply a review and building up what they already had established. Va'av shalo re'isim kenimeni. And then he says to his children, but Daddy, we didn't see you learning Chumash all day. We didn't see you learning Tanakh all day. So why are you telling us to do this? He says, "Benura saya CCK. When I was younger, I did this. I did not have time. And I had other responsibilities. And I could not do as I desired. But I'm letting you know, I learned Tanakh seriously when I was younger. And when I was older, I was unable to do it. The Shla, in his on commentary on Shavuos, on the Shavuos in the Kisvei of the Shein Luchos Habris, he writes that a person must learn Nach in order to have any understanding of Torah and to understand what's going on. You can't simply ignore these things. The Prima Gadin is his Hakdamat Arachaim critiques those Bachrim who learn Gemara Perush Rashi Tosos, but when a pasuk is quoted, they have no idea what's going on. They have no idea what's going on over here. I think Rabbi Reisman tells a story that the reason he got into learning Navi, and the Navi, he got into teaching Navi and learning Navi, is because when he was in high school, he was learning a Gemara, and he misunderstood the whole Gemara, because he didn't understand what was going on in the Pasuk. He like flipped the whole Gemara on its head, and he went to Rav Pam, and Rav Pam said, no. You don't understand the Pasuk, and therefore your understanding of everything else was out of control. And therefore, Rabbi Reisman took it upon himself to learn Navi because he realized he had no idea what was going on. There's another story about Rav Pam that I heard from my friend. My friend was once at a Gudda convention, Torah Masorah, something like that. And Rav Pam was speaking, and he was about to quote a pasuk in Amos. And at that moment, the power went out in the room, and there was no lights anywhere. And Rav Pam proceeded to talk, and there was no visible light anywhere. And he continued to quote the psukim from Amos, two or three psukim, Baal Peh. And my friend thought to himself, like, I'm never going to be able to do that. That's wild that he just quoted a pasuk in Amos, Baal Peh, two or three psukim, Baal Peh. I'm never going to be able to do that. But at least I should know what's going on in Amos. At least I should know that. So my friend went back to Baltimore, and he started a Navi Chabura with a number of Baal Batim in the community, and they made a siyum like after like 20 years, 20, 25 years, they got through it. So he was impressed by understanding that an Adam Gadol, Rav Pam, who certainly knew Shas and Poskim and everything else in Halacha, but also knew Navi as well. Rav Azna writes in the Shevet Halevi, in Chela Gimel, that at a certain point a person must finish learning Tanakh because it is Yesod L'Havanas Torah Seinu HaKadosha. It is really the foundation of understanding our Torah. You have to get to Tanakh at some point. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Reish Mem Vav, and he cites the above Ramah, and he says the Ramah is only a limud schus. And the Ramah says you learn Gemara, the Ramah is simply defending our bad habits. But really, says the Aruch HaShulchan, bivadai tzarech liyeda ha-mikra mishnah. But certainly you must know Mikra and Mishnah. The Mishabur writes in Simen Kufin and Hey, chayv adam lilma b'choyom Torah shvichsav hu ha-Tanakh. You must learn Torah Shav every single day. That is Tanakh. Everybody must learn a little bit of Navi, Ksuvim, each and every day. This then leads to the question of, well, how much, and how much do you have to give towards it, and how do we rank different areas of learning Torah? We've discussed this in the past regarding Bittul Talmud Torah Be'echus. We know there's Bittul Talmud Torah Be'kamus, that if I sit there and do nothing, when I could be learning, so that's obviously Bittul Torah. But there's also a concept amongst the posting of Bittul Torah Be'echus, in quality. When I could be learning something of greater in-depth and more seriousness and more rigor, as we've been discussing by Mincha, L'Fun Tzara Agra, but I choose to learn lighter, more relaxed things without so much effort instead. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Aleph, that the idea of being yishalish limudo, dividing your learning into thirds, is only at the beginning of a person's learning. But once you're yagdil b'chachma, you have a lot of learning, you shouldn't spend so much time on Torah Shevichsav. Rather, just review it and learn it from time to time. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say the same thing. The Gemara Bava Metzia Lamed Gimel says that those who engage in the study of Mikra, it's a midah, it's a nice virtue, but it's not a full virtue. You're going to feel lacking. You feel like you're not getting the whole thing. And if you learn Mishnah, you'll get, it's a midah, it's a virtue, and you'll also get schar. But really, if you want to learn Gemara, there's no greater midah than that. So even Gemara, even Chazal understand that, learning Mikra, it's not the whole thing. You have to understand that's a stepping stone to something else. Comes the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Tes Vav, and it says you shouldn't learn Ksuvim on Shabbos. No Daniel, Megillus, things like that on Shabbos, because Bittul Beis HaMedrash. What does Bittul Beis HaMedrash mean? So Rashi explains, B'Shabbos HaYudorsh in Drasha L'Balabatim Sh'asukim B'Malacha Kol Mos Hachol. The Balabatim are working all week, they can't come learn Halacha on Shabbos. So they gave a Halacha Shir on Shabbos. And they would teach him halacha l'maisa. So the only time this guy has a chance to learn during the week is on Shabbos. And he comes to shul, and he's sitting there, and he's learning, you know, stories in Shoftim about Shimshon. He needs to be learning halacha. And so it's bittul Torah, explains Rashi, it's bittul Beis HaMedrash, because he should be spending his time learning something different and using quality in a different way. The Yushalmi and Shabbos learns from here that learning Mishnah is preferable to learning Tanakh. Based on this comes the Sri Yesh in Chelek Aleph in Siman Nun Tes, and he says that learning Ksuvim, where Megillas Esther is found, because this is really a discussion, the Gemara Megillas says you're Mevatel the learning to go hear Megillas Esther. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about, well, if I'm being, my mind being Mevatel one Torah to go learn another Torah. And what do I gain at the end of the day? So the Sri Yesh says we see that Ksuvim, learning Ksuvim, when other things are going on, other more serious type of learning is going on, can be a form of Bittul Torah. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says the same thing. Rav Chaim Kreisworth cites his father-in-law, Rav Avram Grzhensky, who says, the Gemara in Erevin says, the Malachim rebuked Yehoshua for failing to offer yesterday's Tamid, right? The Malachim come to, the Malach comes to Yehoshua in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua and says, I'm rebuking you because you didn't offer the Korban Tamid, and you also didn't learn Torah in depth. So Yehoshua asks, so which one are you coming for? Because I didn't offer the Talmud or because I didn't learn Torah in depth? The Amkus of Torah. So the angel says, for Bittul Torah. So immediately it says, Vayelch Yehoshua Besocha Emek. He went and learned into the depths of Halacha. So Rav Avram Grzhensky notes that Yehoshua went to the Emek Halacha, to the depths of learning. Why didn't just say he went and learned Torah? Why does it have to be he went to the Emek, the depth of learning? Because certainly Yehoshua ben Nun wasn't being Mevatel Torah in Kamas. Obviously, he wasn't learning to his potential. You're going to tell me Yehoshua ben Nun wasn't learning that day? It's highly unlikely that the recipients of Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu didn't learn for a day. It must be, says Rabbi Grzhensky, that his level of learning was not what should have been. And it was Bittul Torah in quality, not in quantity.
Because Yehoshua ben Nun is always before most of Tanakh.
What?
Yehoshua ben Nun is before most of Tanakh.
No, correct. Not Tanakh. A question of that there's a concept of Bittul Torah in quality versus quantity. So comes the Tshuva Beis Ephraim and Arachaim and Simin Samach Zayim, and he says this is certainly the case if you're simply reading Megillas Esther and not learning in depth. And his proof is that David HaMelech asked that his Tehillim should have the same weight as learning the Gaim and Olos, right? The Medrash says, David says, my Tehillim should be just as weighty as learning the two most complicated areas of Mishnayos, the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Why did David HaMelech need such a special request? Because the effort in learning the Gaim and Olos creates a greater fulfillment of Talmud Torah than reciting Tehillim. It's better Torah. We don't want to say it, but apparently there's weightier and more important, so to speak, areas of Torah versus other areas for a person who's capable of learning on a deeper level. And if you can learn on a deeper level, but you're doing something else instead, then that is a form of Bittul Torah. So the Rashash of Megillah cites the Beis Ephraim, and then he notes that the Gemara in Kedushin tells us to divide the day into thirds, right? And the Ramban Hilchos Talmud Torah and the Shulchan Aruch understand it's referring to a person's life, meaning the first part of the person's career. And as you grow in Torah, you move after the easier things like Tanakh and you move into things that are more in depth. So a person needs to understand as well that even if we're going to say, and I think we are saying, you have to have time to learn Tanakh, it's not the main thing. It's a stepping stone to other things. And the main focus of a person's learning should be Halacha l'maisa, as we talk about all the time, halacha l'maisa is the most important thing a person can learn, and therefore that should be the main focus of a person's understanding. We'll just end with a favorite Mari Makim of mine, which is something that Rav Shechter often likes to quote, and that is the famous letter of Elie Meir Blach regarding Yom HaTzmud in Cleveland in 1954. I think we've spoken about this before, but we'll just say it again. In 1954, tells Yeshiva along in the Mizrahi sponsored a Yom HaTzmud event, and Rav Elie Meir Blach got hammered. How could you sponsor with Mizrahi Yom HaTzmud? What's wrong with you? You must be out of your mind. So he wrote a beautiful letter. Now, the letter was published by Rav Daniel Epstein in his beautiful Sefer, Yosef David Epstein, his beautiful Sefer Mitzvah Sashalom. This is my copy over here. It is censored, this copy, because in the first edition, he published this letter that we're about to talk about, and he got hammered by different Jewish groups, which we're not going to talk about right now. He got hammered, and when it came time to publish the Sefer again later in life, he did not want to go through the same Agbas Nefesh, so he simply took it out, and he simply took it out of the Sefer, which is unfortunate, because it really is very, very beautiful, and there's a lot of important things here, but I'll just note to you what he did it in a very sly way. He did it, the pages he forced to leave blank, he quoted two Gemaras about the importance of people who don't know how to have machlokas in a healthy way. And he put those two quotes in instead to make his point. So Rav Epstein here brings this letter. And in the letter, we're not discussing Yom HaTzmud right now, but in the letter, Rav Elie Meir Blach writes about how I had a number of reasons why I thought it was important. I prefer if we're going to have a Yom HaTzmud event, it should be under the auspices of Tells, so I can, you know, make sure what I think is appropriate and it'll be under our guidance. And then he also goes on to say that, you know, you have to be a fool to not realize that the state of Israel is a modern miracle, and to not have a Karas HaTov to celebrate in some way. And, you know, the people are wrong if they can't see that. And then he writes a very important thing. And he says, over here, at the end of the letter, he says, "Bichlal kvar havesi es hashkafati ki harbe avadnu al yedeza." He says, I brought you my opinion, but you have to know the truth. We've lost a lot. He says, we've lost out on a number of areas that are important to Yiddishkeit because we have given over control of these things to other strains of people who are not Shomer Torah and Mitzvos, and we let them take control of it, and they dictate how these things should be run, and therefore we think that these things are pasul and no good because we don't have these things that used to be under our control. He says, "Ladati lo matzu hashkavosenu had belivo sakal harachav lo bishvil amadosenu hanachona neged hadeos hakozos." We did not stand properly when we went to go stand against these improper views of the Torah. Ela bishvil amadosenu hashlilus neged hadvarim hanachonin kamo limatanach lashon hakodesh veretz Yisrael. He says, we gave up Eretz Yisrael. We let the non-religious dictate the parameters and the circumstances of what to do with Eretz Yisrael, and we lost on that battle. And when it came to Lashon HaKodesh, we also let them dictate how Lashon HaKodesh should be used, and we lost on that battle because we didn't want to touch it, and we stayed away from it. And he said also, Tanakh. He said, the Haskalah and the other strains of non-Orthodox Judaism took over Tanakh. We think it's now not frum to learn Tanakh. They set the parameters of what it is. And now we think if you learn Tanakh, you're not frum anymore. And he said, that was a mistake. We shouldn't have done that. We should have held on to it. We should have dictated what the ways it should have been used is. And we lost out at the end of the day. And therefore, the best thing we can do, says Rav Elie Meir Blach, is to take it back. To increase the limit of Tanakh with Yiras Shemaim, to increase Lashon HaKodesh with Yiras Shemaim, and to increase Eretz Yisrael with Yiras Shemaim as well. So, we shall learn a little bit more Tanakh, teach it to our children, have a greater appreciation, and make sure we learn Tanakh with the proper Masorah, with Torah Shvalpeh, and with Avas Hashem and Yiras Shemaim. Okay?